are listening to the ministry of Pastors Brad and Blonnie Smith, lead pastors of Woodward First Assembly, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. You're about to experience a life-changing word from God. Today, there is a special guest in the house, and we trust that they have a right now anointed word from the Lord. Let's go live right now into the sanctuary and hear this powerful word from our very special guest.
Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. Pretty windy day, so it's one of those days where you just kind of want to stay in and snuggle, but we appreciate that you came tonight, and I pray that you would bear with me because we're going to unwrap a package, is how I like to put it, for this message, because God has really worked on me majorly when it came to what I was going to speak on, because everything I speak on, I want it to come from the heart. And when Pastor Brad asked me to do this, I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I thought, okay, it's going to be at the beginning of January. I don't want it to be some big, woo, 2021, let's make up a resolution word to say or anything like that. I wanted it to be something that's encouraging. And I don't know if you've felt it, but our staff and many other people have came and confirmed this. We felt that there's just a stirring in the air. There's something that 2021 has actually brought with it. And it's almost like a new wind, like a fire. And so as I prayed about this, I thought, well, what do I want to speak on? And slowly God began to unravel this. And the funny thing about it is I had a whole message planned. And I'm still going to say it, but God changed it just a little bit more. And it's because in the story of David, I think everybody can relate to David at some point in their life. He was so humanistic, and he was so open in his flaws, but he was also open in his love for God. And so I want us to go to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39. I'm only going to read a portion of this scripture that goes with the message tonight. And it says, "And I am weak today, though anointed king. I am weak today, though anointed king." There's two things in that that seem like they would contradict each other. He said, "I am weak, but I still know I'm supposed to be king." We don't normally hear that today in society, do we? We don't hear of our leaders showing weakness or anything like that. But if we unravel exactly what was happening here, we would understand a little more on why it was a natural thing for him to say that. And so I wanted to open up in prayer, and then we're going to unwrap this gift, and I'm going to show you how every aspect of this has been a season that I've been in myself personally. And this season was a hard season, but man, do I have joy from it now. And God's getting ready to flood this place. And I know it. And I had to be obedient with what God was telling me to do in order to see that wind blow through. Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come tonight and minister to everyone and be able to share my story and share the story of David and all the attributes that he had in his life. Lord, I ask that you would bless each person as they're in here. God, that you will touch every person online and every need that they have. Give me wisdom and give me knowledge on the words that I speak. And let it be that every word that comes out of my mouth comes from a joyful heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I wanted to give a little background to this. What led to David's weakness? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, it shows that Saul and Jonathan were both killed in battle. And the funny thing about that is the simple fact that David had such a big love for Saul, yet Saul wanted to kill him. He fled from Saul because Saul tried to kill him numerous times. And the scripture shows you clearly that the reason for Saul wanting to kill him was because of jealousy. That's a bitter root that takes place in people's life, and it doesn't just destroy your own, but it hinders those around you. as we see this jealousy that took place, not only did it kill Saul, but it hindered Saul's family as well. Jonathan was killed as well, and this was David's best friend. Didn't just hinder them, but in a way, it also affected David. If you go a little further down, you see where David went through a time of mourning. He loved Saul so much that he wrote a song about him and demanded that the children sing it and learn it. And in this song, he talks about the man who has countless times tried to kill him and made him flee in fear of his own life. He says words such as this: "O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women." That's only a portion of the song. And if you go back and look at David's life, David had a little bit of a problem when it came to the women. So for him to actually say, "I love you more than women," that was a big deal. I mean, that was true love right there. That was a brotherly love like not many people have. For him to even put in the song, "I love you more than I even love women," and that was his biggest temptation. So we have where David goes through this time of mourning and sadness, and he weeps for them, and it's a sorrowful time. And then we have where there are two tribes that happen. Israel is separated into two tribes. You have David's tribe, which he is king over, and then you have the other tribe, which is the descendants of Saul. And as they are battling, David had Joab as his military leader, while on the other team, you had Abner, who was a military leader. Joab had a brother that had been slain by Abner. So there was a natural vengeance right there towards him, a disdain, a hatred. Well, Abner gets a little he gets upset. He gets caught in something, and we'll go into that in a minute because it's actually kind of funny when you break that one down. Abner gets angry and decides, "Well, I'm going to go to David, and I'm going to make a deal, and I'm going to tell David, here's our deal. My military will join yours, and you can be king of it all." Well, in David's eyes, this looks great. It's grand. Everything's perfect. I mean, after all, God already anointed him as king. So why wouldn't this work? Sounds like an easy thing, right? So he makes the deal. And as Abner was leaving, Joab found out about it. And he went after him, and he killed David before the deal could ever be done. He killed Abner before the deal could even be done. So now we go into where David's at. David is upset, and he's sad, and he's mourning again. And the whole thing is in his eyes, he's like, crown was right there. It's all gone. And as he goes through this time of mourning, he finally had to say, "Though I'm weak, I'm still anointed king." He had to remind himself, "This is a hard time for me. This is a stressful time in my life. But I haven't denied that I'm anointed by God. I know that that was true." And a lot of us can go through that because as a child of God, guess what? We all have struggles we have to face. We all have strifes that we go through. We all have hardships. There are going to be times when we are weak. And I've learned that for it to be that David said, "I am weak," that took a lot, because if anybody knows this, it would be men. Men don't like to admit weakness. But we all have a weakness. We all have a downfall to our life. That doesn't change the anointing. That doesn't change anything about our life that God has put in there. And David had to understand that. And how do we recognize these attributes? How can we see ourselves in this story? Well, I can see myself. And in fact, I have a couple of pictures I wanted to show you. because God finally told me it is time to tell this story. I'm not going to give you all the details, but it's pretty cool. See the woman that you can barely see up there on this side? That's my mom. If you can't tell, look at the legs. The legs say it all. That is my mom, and in the middle is my dad. And then beside him is my dad's sister. You can tell which side of the family I took after. And then we can go to the next. That's my mom and dad. I know they seem like crazy pictures, but this is who my mom was. This was exactly, the other picture of her made her look like she was ready to cut your throat, so I didn't want that one in there. But that is my mom. She was a beautiful woman. And there's my dad. And he is still alive, thank goodness. But I grabbed tissues just in case. So I want to break this down for you. A little over a year ago, longer than that actually, my mom passed away. She had 3 brain tumors and cancer that was stage 4 in her bronchial tubes, I think is how you say it. So, that is not the sorrow to this story. I am joyful because I get to see my mother in heaven one day. That is the beautiful ending to this story. But how I wanted to wrap this up with how I saw myself and how God was revealing all of these attributes in me was the fact that you have my mother who grew up. Those pictures that you saw were how friendly she looked. That was the friendliest you got. Usually she pretty much would look at you like she was going to cut your throat. It's just the way she was raised. She was raised in a family that was just very tough, and it was a dog-eat-dog type family. You either get tough or you don't survive. Plain and simple. And that's how they were. You toughen up or you just don't live. So with my mom, when we went through her sickness and her tumors, I went through all of these attributes that I could see where I had to finally say I was weak. He went through a time of mourning, somebody who tried to hurt him. That is hard to do. He mourned the death of someone who attempted to kill him numerous times. While my mother never tried to kill me, this story is actually not about her, but it does revolve around her. See, my mom, like I told you, had a cutthroat family that she always said family is family, no matter what. You love them no matter what. And we did. We did. We were a close-knit family. We did stuff all the time. But I finally got to see what my mom meant by that during this season in our life. When my mom got sick, certain family members jumped in the boat to try to take care. But what they did was they made sure we were at our weakest. We were exhausted. We were ready to cut each other's throats ourselves. We really were. There was a lot of strife that happened in that home during that time. And we couldn't leave her. We took care of her. Our promise was that she would never have to deal with a nurse ever. And her reason for that is we always had a running joke in our family, and it was, oh, well, if it's a weird, rare thing, my mom's going to get it. And even though it wasn't something we spoke over her, it was a running joke because as a child, she had spinal meningitis. When I was born, we found out she had, I may not be saying this correctly, but this is how my mom said it, Guillain-Barré syndrome, where she was paralyzed and they didn't think she would survive. She was literally on a ventilator when I was a baby. And then when we first moved here, and she had numerous other things as well happen, but those are the main ones. And then right after we moved here, she suddenly caught a flesh-eating bacteria. And I had to rush home, and I helped take care of her for that. She was in wound care for a long time over this. And then flash forward to a year later, she kept saying something funny about my thinking. That's exactly how she would put it. And then we finally found out that she had these tumors and this cancer. And so we made a promise to keep her at home and take care of her. Well, in this time, we had these family members. And when I say family members, I don't mean siblings or anything like that. I mean cousins. And if they are listening, bless you. Somebody had to tell the story eventually, which I'm not going to give the bad details. It was pretty rough. What we dealt with was an attack from the enemy. That's exactly what I dealt with. I was exhausted. I was at a point where I could have physically hurt somebody. At one point, I did threaten to dump coffee on my cousin's head. And I told her I meant it. I absolutely meant it. My mom's family is deep-rooted in a lot of hate. And we found that out. One of the ways where we found that out was we had a cousin that came to help take care of my mom, which we found out was actually not there to take care of my mom. We found out at the funeral she was there because my mom's sister, who has nothing to do with us now, paid her to. She was a mole. My aunt, bless her heart, was the most religious person I'd ever met in my life. I loved her dearly. I still do. But she is the most toxic person I'd ever met. And as I dealt with these areas, I'm not even going to go and tell you the things that I dealt with. I can tell you that one of the things was she was willing to make sure my mom didn't know God, just so that somebody else couldn't have the satisfaction of ministering to her. She really was. In fact, we had made a promise to my mom that we wouldn't leave her alone with her, because my mom was going in and out and she didn't know what was going to be said. And so we did. We would actually sit there and stare at her when she'd come over, and she would check out her sister and she would try to talk to her, and we would just sit there. And she would try to get us to leave the room, and we would say no. In fact, there's a whole funny standoff story that my sister has. It's actually pretty hilarious, where my aunt was like, "Don't you want to go eat? They're eating." And my sister looks at her and says, "No, I'll eat later." We can laugh at this now, guys. It really is funny. But the whole point of it is, when my mom passed at the funeral is when the big reveal was. And we found out that all of these cousins that had caused all this strife had been paid by her to be a mole. And they actually stood at the burial with their arms folded, like in a line, like to stare us down. And it was the most awkward thing, because at that moment, I was so happy to see my mom at rest. But I'm only human as well. So if they would have talked to me, I promise you I would have decked them. So this is how I can relate to David, okay? David went through some crazy stuff, and he had to finally say, "I am weak." How do we know David went through crazy stuff? He wrote a song about the person who tried to kill him. That's one thing. If you go back and look, too, he put to death the man who put Saul out of his misery. That's crazy. And then praised the man that buried Saul. All right? That's just one little area that we can go through, where you can see where David just wasn't always in his right mind at times. And when you're in a stressful moment and you're at your weakest, even as a Christian, there are times when you're not always in your right mind. I mean, everybody in here that knows me, would I ever threaten to pour a cup of coffee on your head? No. But when you're at your weakest and you haven't admitted it yet, you're going to do some crazy stuff. And so as we lead up to this, David gets this offer to have these militaries come together for them to be able to finally take the crown. But let me show you the little nugget that God gave me that's actually kind of funny to me in that. What led him to come to David? So if you look in chapter 3 at verse 7 and 8, it says, "And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ai." So Ishbosheth, by the way, I'm really bad at names, so please forgive me, said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the words that she said, and he said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers, and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with the fault concerning this woman." Basically, he went into Saul's concubine. He got to know the concubine. In their culture at that time, if a king had a concubine, that concubine was then given to the next king. Well, he wasn't king. But Saul's daughter saw him going in there and addressed it. So in other words, he was going ahead and playing the role of king when he thought nobody was looking. He was being pretty shady. And when he got caught in it, he got hurt. And he got angry. And he took on offense and said, "Well, I'll just leave. Bye." And they let him go. I've seen that happen so many times. People who want to help someone out, but they're not really helping. They're really causing strife and struggle. And once the rubber hits the road, they're gone. And they'll destroy you in any way possible they can. That's what I dealt with. As I came home on one of my trips from taking care of mom, they finally had a come to Jesus meeting at my mom's house. And I missed it. I was 3 hours out, and I said, "I don't mind turning around, going back. I got a few things I want to say too." We pretty much had to kick this family out because this family was doing exactly everything that we knew my mom would never allow. My mom had particular things about her. She had funny things. Here's one of them. At a funeral home, you don't touch a dead body. She says it's disrespectful and it's gross. So growing up, we never touched. We were like, mm-mm. We didn't touch my mom's body either. We knew how she felt about it. That was just one thing. And then she had another thing. If you are at the worst time of your life, she don't want a whole bunch of people around her. Well, these cousins decided they wanted to bring all their grandkids that had never known my mom and let them play around while my mom's laying there. And we had to say no, and it turned into a big to-do, and they left. Well, the moment they left, they were gone. They didn't care if it destroyed us or not. They did everything in their path they could to hinder us. Now let's stop and think. What if David would have went along with Abner? What if it all would have worked out? Do you wonder that? If Abner already felt comfortable pretending to be king on one side, what was going to happen eventually with David if he got comfortable enough? This is where I say that we have to be careful of the people in our life. And look at scripture. People like to say, "Oh, well, the Bible, it's not relevant for today." Come on. Who hasn't been through something like that? Who hasn't been through any of that? Just because there isn't technology in this book doesn't mean it doesn't go for today. It's always relevant. And David's life is the one that I love the most. I love his and I love Saul's. Reason why? They're the most human. You see all of their flaws. And that's what I love about David. David was able to say, "I am weak." Men don't know how to say that anymore. Women don't know how to say that. We have too much of a boldness that is not a reality that comes from God. Our boldness we take on. I love the illustration of the dogs that are behind a fence, and it says people arguing on social media, and they're barking and they're barking, and the gate slowly opens, and when they're together, they're just like, and walk away. That's the boldness people take on today. And it's a false reality. It's not anything that comes from God. God tells us we have to decrease so he can increase. And David knew this. So, we learned that Abner had planned this whole thing out, but guess what? He got dead. So it was all said and done. And David thought, this close, yet I'm back at square one. Another funny thing that David did is right before the scripture that we read, he not only made everybody mourn the death of Abner, he made the guy that killed Abner mourn him. Go back and look at it. Let me see here. It shows where he was the one who killed him, yet David commanded him as well. I'm trying to find the exact scripture, but now it's like it all blends in. David was so distraught, he wouldn't even eat. And part of that actually is a symbol that he wanted to prove that he didn't have anything to do with this. He was so upset over this happening. But what I want to show you is a simple question. When he talked to Abner, did he consult God first before he gave an answer? You can say out loud, what do you think? Did you see where he consulted God first? No. It was so enticing that he couldn't do this. He couldn't even stop to say, let me pray with God first about this and make sure that this is the right thing. Because after all, you know, he was anointed when he was 15. But there's a funny thing called God's timing. God's timing is an amazing thing. And wasn't his time yet. Because he wasn't doing it the way God had told him to do it. Or the way God wanted him to do it. And because of that, it all fell to pieces. But when you look at the reality of how quick Abner was to switch sides over one little thing, over getting caught in his own problems, how easy is it to see that this was actually God protecting David again? I see it as a protection David puts on. And that's what God does. God will shield us from the toxic that comes into our life. This was going to be a toxic situation. I see that fully. I've seen people who do this. I've seen people who will get mad at this church and run over to that church and want to do everything they can to help that church until they get mad at that church. Then they're going to go off over to this church and do the same thing. It happens everywhere. Or people who become your best friend until you don't do exactly what they want. Then they'll have nothing to do with you. They'll block you on Facebook. They'll make sure they'll put it on Wu-Town Review. If you ever want to know anybody's business, I guess you just go to Wu-Town Review. Because it's all on there. And so, that's what David was getting himself tangled into. If we would have allowed this to continue in my mom's home, I don't want to know how toxic it could have been. It was actually at a moment where these family members went to go run some errands that through that I was able to see my mom get saved. And it was a glorious moment. And I will continue on with more of this with David and his attributes next week because there's so much more to untangle with this that actually went with my mom. There was something, my mom loved music. She believed that every song had a story, and she wanted to know the story. She didn't care how silly the song was. I remember one time, I can say it now because she ain't going to get mad at me. One time she played a song for me. I think it was called Country Bumpkin, And the song was about the frost is fresh out on the pumpkin. And she asked me as a little girl, what do you think the song means? And I was like, I don't know. There's like some snow on a pumpkin or something. And I made her laugh so hard she peed herself. So she ain't going to get mad that I said that now. And that's just who she was. She loved music. And something I noticed is during that time, we would play music. And we would play certain songs that she loved. And it would just stir her in a bad way. We call them the honky-tonk music, you know. One night, she asked me to go get her gun. Because we were listening to Johnny Cash. And she goes, I promise I won't shoot you. She thought I was a nurse, by the way. And I said, I can't afford to have her even just pretend to kill me right now. I was like, I just might have a come apart if that happens. Well, we didn't give her the gun. And then the next night when my sister watched her, she told my sister, Blonnie let me have the gun. And my sister said, well, I'm not Blonnie. I like my life. And so we noticed that there was a difference in her attitude and her mood with music. She couldn't hardly drink anything, but if we played Lacey J. Dalton's Black Coffee, she would always be like, I need my coffee. We'd bring it to her, and then she'd forget that she even asked for it and say, why did you bring me coffee? I don't want no coffee. Like I was crazy. And so I changed the music because she was changing. Things were just, they weren't her. And as corny as it sounds, I put it on an endless loop of Chris Tomlin because he's peaceful enough to keep her chill. She doesn't want her gun, listening to Chris Tomlin. And so we would listen to that for hours and hours, and she would just smile. She couldn't really see anymore, and she couldn't really move, and she would just smile and keep her eyes closed. And I would even ask her, do you want me to turn it off? Mm-mm. And it just changed the atmosphere, and that's when she opened the door and said, am I going to die? Yeah. I asked her, do you feel comfortable where you're going? She said, no. Well, through that, that's when I talked to her about God. And we prayed together. And it was a beautiful moment. But I had to realize, I had to change the atmosphere for that door to open and get her away from what she was so used to. David had to take a time of mourning to be able to overcome the stresses in his own life, to finally stop and say, I am weak, but I am anointed. At that moment is when he allowed God to be the one to direct the orders. At that moment is when he realized, I can't do this on my own. And it was at that moment that I had to realize myself, I couldn't do this on my own. I spent every moment I could just reading scripture, even if she was asleep, and just talking to her and praying with her. And every challenge that came, every time a family member would come by and visit, I was able to step up to the plate. I knew people were praying for me, and I needed that. I knew people were praying for me because when Adam was put to the challenge, he succeeded. That's a child. I'm not going to give her the privilege of having this, but it was as though looking in the eyes of the devil and facing them head on. And every question that came out of their mouth was questioning your faith and telling you how stupid it was and how they certainly don't understand how I would believe that a spirit could talk through me. How stupid is that? These are the things, and she would stop and say it to her own sister, to my mom. She would say things like that. And I would just stay firm, stay calm, smile at her, and tell her, well, the scripture says this, and I'm not great at memorizing scripture, but my goodness, how it all came to me right then. That's how I knew it was God. And that was that moment where I had to finally say, I am weak, and allow God to be my strength. And through that, he gave me wisdom. He gave me knowledge on how to handle any situation. And praise God, it worked. There's more to this story that goes with where I'm at today, because where I'm at today, I love these family members. I have great joy for them. I have compassion for them. I pray for them all the time. There have been times I've wanted to call them up to see how they're doing, but I know better. I can forgive, and I can say that actually without gritting my teeth. I can smile and say, I forgive you, and I love you. But I also have enough wisdom to say, I'm not opening that door for you to hurt me again. And so God was the one I felt closed that door on that. I didn't need that toxic in my life. And so David had to get to a point where he said, I am weak. So he had to recognize the dependency. His attempt to get the crown, he did on his own, and it failed. So he had to finally tell God, okay, I'm putting you in control. He also had to realize his anointing. He was so fixated on that crown, they forgot it was on God's time. David was anointed at around 15 years old, and he wasn't crowned until about 30. There were things he had to go through, things he had to face, trials he had to overcome before he became king. Imagine if you are anointed king at around 15 years old, and then you go and take the crown. Do you think people are going to respect you? Do you think they're going to go, oh, well, I want to follow that guy? No, they're going to look at you like you're a kid. He had to go through some challenges in his life to get him to the place he's at. And I personally had to do that myself. There is a whole story behind it, but I could tell you, if you ever wanted to personally and privately listen, there is a whole story that goes behind this on how all of this circles back around our ministry, and everything that I've dealt with relied on this one moment, and that was with my mom. And God showed me that, and it was such a beautiful thing. And it was in my weakness that he finally revealed it all. I have one of these minds. I love puzzles. Adam and I will sit there for hours and do a crossword puzzle, and we're happy, and we're content. We'll compete with each other. I love solitaire. I love the marble game. I do all kinds of puzzles like that, and God knows I enjoy that. And honestly, that's how he shows me things. It's like little pieces to put together, little things to remind me of that come together, and it's such a beautiful moment. And it's a personal thing that I have with God, and I love it, and he knows that. And so with everything that I dealt with, every situation that came to me, I had realized it was something, a battle I dealt with in our ministry and overcame, something I had never dealt with, and I had to step up to the challenge and do. And once I was able to see it all in the end, I thought, oh my goodness, all these times that I thought I went through hard times and struggles, and why am I going through this, God? And why have you put me so far away from my family? Because when God called us into the ministry, he seemed to think you don't need to be anywhere near your home. And so my kids are actually used to it. It's an 8.5 hour drive right now if we don't stop. And at one point we were 6 hours away. So they're kind of used to it. And so it was a thing where I had to finally say, okay, God, you're in control. And he showed me, okay, well, now you can see the big picture. And through that, I was able to get the revelation. But even in that time, I was still human. I still had to go through things. Even at this time when David said, I am weak, he was mourning the death of of Abner. And I had to go through that myself. There was a season that you saw it here. I was a completely different person. I was quiet. I stayed to myself. If I shared my story, it was only with a few people. And the reason for that is I had to go through a mourning season, not of the death of my mom, but the death of my mom's family. It was the hardest thing, because when you look at this family, you think, oh, well, she probably didn't really know them. No, we knew them very well. We were very close to them. We spent summers with them. We did all kinds of stuff. We did weddings with them, funerals with them, and just we always loved them no matter what. And for us to find out in the end, it didn't matter. Our whole family did not even get the chance to mourn my mother's passing. We mourned my mother's family's passing, because that day we buried them with her. And when I say that being in that moment will make you human and make you do crazy things, yeah, that night in the pouring rain, I drug a thing across the cemetery that was covered in red roses that said sister on it to the dumpster, ripped out every single rose, chunked it, pouring rain. We're human. We all go through it. But we have to bounce back from it. We have to see where we overcome it. And David, he had to finally say, okay, I tried to do this on my own. I know, God, I was a little cray-cray there. I was a little weird. I killed people that probably didn't deserve it. And I praised people that probably just said I just dug a grave. So he had to come to terms with realizing his own strength. And I know this sounds like it's a sad and sorrowful message, but it's not. It's not at all. I have joy that is actually really unspeakable. My worship has changed. My praise has changed. My prayer life has changed. Why? Because I finally had to say, God, I'm weak. How do I get a heart like yours? When I decreased, he was able to increase. And that's what we have to do. I wanted us to have this message tonight because of the simple fact that we are in a new year. That morning that we did in 2020, it's time to lace up our bootstraps. God wants to do something new. He's saying, okay, give me the reins. Allow me to do this now. I know that revival is around the corner. I can feel it. I can sense it. God is showing it to us. There is a hunger that we are seeing in people like never before. But it's coming from people who are persistent, who are able to say, I am weak, and allowing God to be their strength. Something God said to me last night about this as I was praying is the simple fact of a vase. It's funny how we say the potter and the clay and things like that. Think about a vase. What does a vase do? It holds the water that brings the nutrients to the plant to make it grow. That's what it does. We are a vessel used by God. We have to decrease so that he can increase and understand that it is not our ability that gives us these fruits. It's us saying, okay, God, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. Whether it be hold the water, pour the water out, be the flower, whatever you want me to do, I want to be and I want to do. And so in this season, 2020, I look back and I laugh because I'm like, wasn't the worst year for me. That's not the year I dealt with my mom's passing. I dealt with that the year before. I don't want to go back to 2019. So 2020 was more of a reconstruction for me. That was that time where I had to finally just let God work it all out with me. And through that, I was able to finally see the revelation that I needed that came from God. So there's no shame when you go through weakness. We're all going to do it. When we hide it and when we try to pretend like it's not there, that's when we let things build inside of us. And while I love my aunt and my cousins, that's exactly what happened. It's not that they just want to be this way. It's letting things that have built up from generational curses that continue. My mom broke that curse. And in full circle, I got to bring her to the Lord. And so I'm grateful for that moment of weakness. And like I said, I was that woman who drug that big flower thing shaped like a heart or something. I don't even remember what it was shaped like. But it was full of red roses, and I ripped out every single rose. I said, I don't even care. And I even went back to her grave and said, I know that's what you'd want me to do, so I did it. And walked off. If she could have talked back, she would have went, yep. But I knew she wasn't. I know that. I have that wisdom. I'm not going to go out there and have a conversation with her. Because one day I'm going to have a full conversation with her. Amen. It's amazing because she actually will probably be the one to say, let me show you around when I get there. And so that'll be really cool. And so I wanted to go ahead and close out. We went 4 minutes over. And we're going to continue this on because I have so many great things to say that has nothing to do with this woman or this family anymore, but deals with how we can have God inside of us through the attributes that we saw in David. So if you could, let's stand up. For a minute, and let's close out in prayer.
We are so honored that you have taken the time to partner with this podcast today. This podcast is in no way intended to replace the local church in your life. Instead, its purpose is to enhance and encourage your faith. If you're in the Woodward, Oklahoma area, join us for one of our exciting worship experiences. We are located at 3906 Lakeview Drive in Woodward, Oklahoma. Our Sunday worship begins at 10:30 a.m., and our Wednesday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Once again, thanks for connecting with us today, and be blessed.